Good morning to each one. It's good to be here again this morning. I am again reminded of the singing here and want to not wear that saying out, but hopefully you can continue to sing. The last number of sermons that I preached was on the end times, and some of the reason that that is because I have an assignment for weekend meetings in the end of March, and so that's you're the guinea pigs to see if it works or not and see if it's coming out all right. And so I would invite your attention this morning again to Matthew 24. We spent quite a bit of the time on that and chapter, but Matthew 24 has quite a bit of information in about the Lord's return, because that's how it starts out. The first verses, the disciples ask him, what will be the sign, and when will you return? When will we know?" And that's kind of a subject that is basically here today. It's kind of the same subject. Quite interesting that that's. It must make it a. effect or a difference in somebody's life or our life, or we wouldn't continue to discuss it. Because I've heard this topic ever since I remember, and it's still going on. And so it must be somewhat important. That's how the chapter starts, and basically the chapter is going through a lot of different things that Jesus answers that question, and makes quite an interesting chapter to study. Chapter 25 goes along with it then also. But if you would just turn with me to 24, and I'll just read the verses here, 36 to 39. 24:36, "But of that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So technically what's being said there in that verse is pretty simple, but it's important that, first of all, it's important that we understand that we don't follow date-setter people, because it says here, nobody knows, not the angels of heaven, and it almost insinuates that he doesn't even know himself. He says only the Father in heaven knows when this answer is going to come to those questions in the beginning of the chapter. When will be his return and what will be the signs is really what's being said here. And so that's that verse. And then right away the next verse, it has another but. It starts out, verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So now we have some information here, or a sign, if you will. If you collect the information that you can get out of the scripture, what the days of Noah were like, you can assume from this verse then that it's going to be similar, because that's what it says. So we don't know the day or the hour in verse 36, but we do have some information about this in verse 37 when it talks about the days of Noah. So what do you think about when you think of the days of Noah? There's a lot of things that go through our mind, and we've studied or had some interest in those days throughout our lifetime, and it was a certain kind of a setting there that brought on something very large, wasn't it? Something about a flood, and we know a little bit about that flood because that we read in the scripture also. And so it gives us some information here, but notice what we're going to be reading in these few verses is very normal things. He's not bringing out extremes of sin like we're going to look at in Romans chapter 1. But here it says in verse 38, but as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. That's kind of what we do. Marrying and giving in marriage, that's kind of normal. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. In other words, they were not aware of what's going on. Wasn't Noah preaching and building for 120 years? 120 years. And it says here that, and they knew not, or they understood not, or they maybe didn't want to understand what's going on until the floods came and took them away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we have to understand that that's so impossible that not one except his own family, not one person in that whole, on the whole earth that, at that time, followed his advice. There's a flood coming. In Hebrews, it talks about being a preacher of righteousness. So we assume he's talking about and giving warnings. And nobody responded. Not one person responded except his family. That's the condition. So although it talks about this, verses here about eating and drinking and giving, marrying and giving in marriage as normal things, that is given there to help us understand that people weren't interested. It's just, they were just going on without God. They were just going on. And so they ignored, and I'm adding some of this myself, but they ignored and ridiculed God. Well, today when you turn away from God and you make fun of him or scoff at him, whatever, that's the same. You're ridiculing God. And so when you don't respond to the call of God or to the preaching of God's word and follow and obey that, then you are ridiculing or you're a scoffer. And so that's what's happening here. They were scoffing at God, which it doesn't really say that. But they didn't follow. Not one soul followed the preaching of Noah. Well, we know from other parts of the scripture that it was great wickedness. It talks about every intent of their heart was wicked continually. That's one of the conditions that was going on. And so apparently people were so calloused to this human ways or selfish ways or the ways they were used to doing things, and so indifferent that they had no interest in Noah's preaching. Not one soul responded. And so when I think of preparing a message for this assignment, it is assignment on end times and how it relates to today and some of the events that are going on today, I'm looking at this, and we still have, even like in America, we still have people that are responding to the call of the gospel and serving him and following him. But turn with me to Isaiah to get a little bit of a picture of where we are in society today. Isaiah 5, chapter 5. Verses 20 to 22. Thinking about conditions in our society and what's going on around us today. And then I also want us to think about when I read this, that we would not just allow our minds to go to the government or to the world events or society, but then also allow this word to penetrate into our hearts and to challenge us ourselves. Because it says here in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. If you're like me, well, your mind exactly goes to a certain person you just read about this week or last week, whatever. And so we can easily let that our minds go to those people. And I guess that's natural. But allow this also to penetrate our own hearts, that we don't get to the point where we are callous to things that are evil. When the Bible says something is wrong, then it's wrong. And we want to follow God, then we line up ourselves with the scripture. And so it says here, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. And so there's a lot to be said about that, but you kind of get the picture that it's something of a setting of society, and it's a warning against that, and that we want to take it, first of all, in the context here, speaking of end time sermon, we want to realize where we're at here, that this is actually very close to society, what we're used to hearing on the news when they talk about calling good evil and evil good. But that's not the only reason that this warning is given. The warning is given for us as God's people. We want to follow him the way that he wants us to follow, and we don't want to get calloused just because society is going that direction. Then turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I want to start reading at verse 18. You heard me read this before, and there's a few things that need to be pointed out before I start reading. If you can catch this, there's two things that are mentioned in these verses from 18 to the end that are very noteworthy and something that we need to keep in our minds, in our notes, in our minds, that lead us in a very critical way or a very downward slope. There's two things that are that we can eliminate in our life as believers that will that lead us down the wrong road. So you can follow with me, see if we can catch that. I'll try and remember to say what I'm thinking there after I've done reading all this. Chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do so, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, what is two things in here? This is not quite part of the sermon here, but what are the two things in here that we really need to keep track of in our lives? There's two very simple things. If we eliminate this, then the rest of that chapter will be the result. Yes?
Blind in your own eyes.
Okay.
That,
definitely. There's probably more, but
didn't glorify God
is one.
Not thankful
is two. Those two things, if you start eliminating those two things in your life and not glorifying God, that simply means not putting him in the proper perspective. Putting you in the wrong place and him in the wrong place. Him and not in the right place. That's not glorifying God. When we stop doing that and we are not thankful for life and what he has given and recognizing who everything comes from, the downward trend that I just read is some serious things that are sinful, homosexuality and so forth. That is definitely wrong in the scripture. That's going to be our end. And not just homosexuality, but it's those type of downward trends that will lead us to that. Two things. Well, that's not really what I wanted to bring out in that section there when I think of the end times here, but when I do think that the condition that we're in, and we realize the conditions that are in the neighborhoods here, and in a broader sense, we can be pretty condemning that, yes, they have actually some people we think, well, we watched them for a while. They said definitely God has given them over to a reprobate mind. And that is, I agree. But the concern is when we think of end times and what we're supposed to do with end time things and how destructive and how the uprightness of the citizens just of the normal world without even being believers is so downgraded, so degraded. The information to us is that we don't let this happen to ourselves. That's the warning. Even though not here this morning, I don't look at this congregation in that sense at all. It's just that we need to take that warning. If we're not going to glorify God and we're not going to be thankful, we will be caught. Turn with me then to Hebrews chapter 5. It's a few verses there that I think you're familiar with. When I think of the reminders of the day that we're living in comparing to Noah's day, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, to the end, it says, of whom we have many things to say, that's talking about Melchizedek. We have many things to say that are hard to be uttered. Seeing you are dull of hearing, or have become dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or mature spiritually, even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when we're thinking of the people around us and we get to explain things to an unbeliever even or someone that's drifted away from God, and we bring some things to their attention, or we speak to each other even as challenging each other here in the congregation, let's remember that what's being said here is something is lacking. Some interest has failed. And is it the fact of not glorifying God or putting him in the right perspective or right spot anymore in our life? Is that why he's saying this to these people? This is kind of a sad commentary of people that, where do you put yourself, or where did I put myself? Do I class myself as one that he would say, well, I have lots of things to teach you and say to you, but you're just dull of hearing. You don't want to hear it anymore. So there's a challenge there, but there's a very much of a likeness to Noah's day, I believe, in dull of hearing the preaching. They didn't want to hear it. Just don't want to hear it. And they didn't do anything about it. They didn't respond to the message. Let's not be dull of hearing in our own personal lives. The last scripture that we want to turn to here is 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy, the first verse is there. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, so now we are talking about pointing to a certain time, the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And so it's just bringing out the verse and the thought that this is actually possible for us. I believe that was a condition of Noah's day, that they were not interested in what was being said. And so let's take those few scriptures there as an introduction to not allow that to come into our life. It's not just society. Satan wants to ruin your life too. And he wants to ruin the world or rule the world. But our attention should be in our own lives. So in the idea of an end time sermon, the idea of dullness of hearing or being indifferent to God's word, when we sense that in the world today, which I am bringing that to you as I sense that in the world today, and I don't think it's imagined, but the dull of hearing is not like it used to be. The hearing is, there's people just not that interested in listening to your message. And so when we have that in a society, we're very open. And should I say, if we have it in the congregation, we're very open to lots of different ideas and ideologies. One of the ideologies that's out there today that I want to touch on just for a second here is the trend of socialism that I believe was somewhat close to the Noah's Day kind of thing, that they were not interested in listening to what was being said. They had their own agenda, their own thing that they wanted to do. So I would say today, not saying that this will be the end times, but today, one of the main concerns is socialism and how it's coming to be. If we have another election, and I'm not, this is not a political sermon at all, but We have another election, and you have Vance as the vice president, generally thinking of running for the Republican side of things, and there's a very prominent lady that's going to be the Democratic, that's my prediction. The Democratic runner for that party. And she is chairman, president, something of the Socialistic Society of America. And if that time comes that she would be elected, then we would be in a very bad spot. Socialism promises a lot of things. Socialism is just a mild form or a nice way of saying communism. It's just a step before the real communism. But socialism itself promises equality for people, social equality, religious freedom, a lot of things is promised. And it makes it look good. So when you have a society that's following socialism and that those ideas, that really is draining America. And it comes to the point where something has to replace the drain or the negative things that are going on here, and it's replaced with socialism. Although that's what has drained it. And how in the world is anybody, if you look at some of the histories of that ideology, how would you be in favor of that? To nominate a socialist as a president. Polls show right now that 61% of the young people from ages 18 to 24, 61% are in favor of socialism in America. That's where we're at. And we don't have to go far in history. Venezuela has been in history in our news the last little while. But if you just go back in the 70s and then 80s and 90s, 70s they had a very stable country. 80s came a 80s and 90s both had a dip in their petroleum, which that's how they survived with their oil resources. And it came to the point where they elected a socialist president. Forget his first name, Chavez was the last name. And just to make a long story short, Venezuela today is in ruins. And it's just that short period of time where they went from a very stable economy to the point of really anarchy. There's nothing much there anymore. And so why would you elect a president like that? Well, I'm not sure. That's not the sermon, but that's part of an interest in mind to watch what's going on when I think of end time, some of the signs of the end times. We have that right here in our country, and so it's not far away. It's not Venezuela, but it's pretty close to home. So why I'll say all this, and I'd like to give you a little bit of a conclusion here. I do believe that it's possible that socialism is the dominant ideology of starting the tribulation time. And it is. It seems very likely when the countries and the worlds fall, the governments fall apart, that it's a very good way to think of bringing in an Antichrist. And when everything fails and one person needs to put things back together again, we call that the end times and the Antichrist appearing on the scene to make things all better. So as we think of this, and oh, that's kind of negative, we have a thankful for the country we have. It really hurts when you think of the nation that I grew up in compared to now, and the ideologies that are there is so different. When we think of all, based a lot on the Word of God in originally, and now it's gone that far away, so that really hurts. That's an unbelievable move here in the States. And my thing as I want to close with is the idea that the idea of how we should respond, or what should we can't go to Washington and change and keep Cortez, forget her name, I think Alexandria Cortez, we can't keep her out of office. I don't think we can. I don't think that's our job. So what is it that we should be doing in light of all this? And that's how I would like to leave you. I think the one thing is that, without using scripture, just a comment from me to you is that we would stay true to the truth. There's truth in the scripture that must be followed no matter who or what is beside us. And that's going to keep you and me on track, and hopefully congregations on track. But we'll work together at this, and we're going to be people of truth. When I look at the idea of truth, I'm talking about business and covenants or contracts and things that we make. I hope that's still normal in your mind, that when you sign something or shake a hand on some deal, whether it's $100 or $10,000, that's still the truth. That's the truth. I said so, and that's how it's going to be. So when I think of reacting, or what should we do with this, what is our place in this, there needs to be a light, and there will be a light of Jesus Christ till the end comes, until it's all over. And one of them is going to be that we are going to be people of truth. Do you want things to, do you want somebody to say, make a promise to you and keep it? Well, we all do. And so then let's take the responsibility of keeping our promise to those around us. Pretty simple. It's not that far from our thinking, hopefully. But it's important, because when you look at the deception that's in this kind of talk of these ideologies, they promise a lot till the person's in office, and then it all goes away. And we are in need to think of sticking close together in the end. We're in need of thinking of assembling ourselves together and to provoke each other unto love and good works, those kinds of verses. That's what's needed. And I think that God has given us the information in the Bible to be able to accomplish that in the last days. It won't be easy, but I think we can, with his help. In conclusion, I want to encourage us to not just be Christ admirers, but I want us to be Christ followers. Christ admirers are all around us. Yeah, a lot of people are talking a lot about God, a lot about Christ, and a lot of singing, a lot of words, lots of songs being written about Christ, and all the glory that goes to God. We want to go a little bit farther than that and follow him. Our opportunity is so different today than it was. We had a whole society, when I think of our older days, we had a whole society that was concluded a lot of the same things. Now we have a lot of Christ admirers, and that troubles me. An admirer will not allow what he admires to change himself enough to follow what he admires, if you're getting what I'm saying. He's just admiring. And he's loving every bit of all the benefits and all things that go along with the Bible and all the things that promised in the Scripture. Love it, a lot of admiration. But the follower is one that wants what he's seeing in the Scripture to help him make the difference in walking a different way of life. That's a follower. And I want to leave here this morning with that in our hearts. Are we a follower or just an admirer? Times are not always as so bright in the world and in society, but we can still be a follower and do what he wants us to do and be a light to the world. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity of being together here this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we think of the opportunities and the responsibilities that we have for each other here in this group, that we would be helping each other to promote love and good works and integrity and all things that maybe are just kind of natural to us, but help us to continue that and realize the importance of it. Just bless our time together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a song at this time.
Turn with me in your Zion's praises to 187. 187. No soul, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready? Bright home, say, will he watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?